preach on a topic tonight that we all struggle with. If it's not externally, it's internally. And that is the issue of pride, the issue of humility. Simple truth here tonight, simple message. Simple doesn't always mean easy. When it comes to the pride issue, I think it's something that we sincerely should be praying and pleading and begging for God's help with. Because pride can creep in and can really wreak havoc in our lives. So I wanted to preach on humility tonight out of 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read the text here in just a minute. We'll pray here, and then we'll read that, and we'll begin here. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for the way that you teach us, and Father, even the way that you deal with us and you humble us. And Father, where would we be without your Holy Spirit's influence, without your Holy Spirit work in our lives? And Father, I pray that you would help us to be receptive tonight, help us to be listening, and that Father, we would employ the things that we hear here tonight. Father, I pray you bless each one, strengthen us, and encourage us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start in verse number 5, and we're going to read down through verse number 9. Verse number 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, or accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So here we see in verse number 5 some pretty pointed statements. Be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. We see here this command. We see here this instruction. And obviously, just like any instruction, any command that we see in God's word, we ought to take notice of that and think about that and consider that and think, God, am I really obeying this like I should in my daily life? So the thing that I want to focus on here tonight is three basic things that I think we can consider when it comes to humility versus pride. And I've called it the three C's of humility. The three C's of humility. So each one starts with a C. So it'll be easy to remember. Easy to take notes if you take notes here tonight. And the first one is this. The first C word is can't. Can't. And what I mean by that is there are many things that we can't do. And we have to realize that every single day. And maybe even many things is maybe an understatement. Maybe we should even say we can't do anything without God's help, without God's power, without God's influence in our lives. Anything good, anything spiritual that we accomplish on a daily basis is not a result of anything that we've done. It's a result of his influence through us. The result of him working in us, showing us something, and us simply obeying him, listening to the command and just doing what he's telling us to do. So the first one is can't. There are many things that we just can't do without him. And I see this in verse number 6 here. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We see here in this verse the command to humble ourselves, but we see also here who God is. It says here, the mighty hand of God. We ought to realize on a daily basis, even an hourly basis, that God is mighty, that God can do all. God is all-powerful, and we are not. We are not that way. He is mighty, and we are not. He can, and we can't. We can't do anything without him. And the word here, mighty, means powerful, just like what we would think. He's all powerful. He can do anything. So we see the command here to humble ourselves. And does this command here to humble ourselves, does that mean that we're prone to lifting ourselves up? I think it does. I think God gives us this command to remind us, hey, humble yourself. And we have that tendency to elevate ourselves, to boast, to, and I mentioned this before, even if it's not an outward thing, I think inwardly a lot of times we get kind of full of ourselves, right? And we think that we are something when we are not, when we are nothing. And maybe it's something that God has helped us accomplish. Maybe it's some stronghold in our lives that God has given us victory over, and we decide to take credit for that. You know what? That wasn't us. That's something that God did in us. That's something that God helped us with. And we should not lift ourselves up. We should lift him up. He is mighty. We are not. He can. We can't. Let us have that realization. Let us have that perspective. We need to have the right view on this topic. He is mighty. We are not. We need him in every aspect of our lives. Everything that we do, everything that we contemplate, everything that we think about, every decision that we make on a daily basis, we ought to be including God in those decisions. And we go downhill quickly if we do not include God in the decisions that we make every single day, in the choices that we make. He is mighty. Go with me to Psalm 89. Great section of scripture here, Psalm 89. We're not going to read the whole thing for sake of time. We're going to start in verse number 5. Psalm 89 and verse number 5. And we get a glimpse here of just how mighty God is. And we see this all throughout the scriptures. We see this all throughout God's word, how mighty he is, how powerful he is. Verse number 5 says, again, Psalm 89, verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. We see here, and this is, it continues on throughout much of this psalm, but we'll stop here for sake of time. He tells us in several instances here that he is mighty in several things. He's mighty in faithfulness. Look at verse number 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8, the second half of the verse here, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. He's mighty in faithfulness. He is a faithful God. Mighty in faithfulness. We are not mighty in faithfulness. We need him. We can't be mighty in faithfulness without him, without his influence in our lives. He is faithful. He is mighty. He's mighty in creation. He's mighty in nature as well. Look at verse number 5. It says, in the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. Look at verse number 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Imagine the waves raging, a storm raging. Reminds me of when he calmed the storm, when Jesus Christ calmed the storm during his personal earthly ministry. He spoke a few words, peace be still. And he calmed the storm. He's all powerful. He has control over all of that. He's mighty in all of that. He's also mighty over those that boast. Look at verse number 10. And this speaks to the pride issue. Verse number 10 says, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. It's like the old Moab bomb. Remember when that the Moab was dropped, the mother of all bombs? It's like Moab was dropped on Rahab, right? It says, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Rahab here, another term potentially for Egypt. Also, it means boaster, someone who boasts. God does not like it when we boast. And we see how seriously he takes it here. When we think of Egypt, we think of a rich nation, a strong nation, right? A nation that's puffed up in many ways. And we see how God deals with that. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. God hates pride. God hates boasting. God hates it when we try to lift ourselves up and give him no credit. God hates that. I heard a story recently about George H.W. Bush. Maybe you've heard this as well. I guess when George H.W. Bush was younger, when he was maybe a pre-teenager into his teenage years and his early adulthood, he was a really good baseball player. I didn't know that until recently. So when he was really young, he played in a game, and he did really well, hit a couple home runs, and their team won, and he went home to his mom, and his mom said, hey, George, how'd the team do today? And George says, I hit a couple home runs, I did this, this, and she stops him, and she says, I didn't ask how you did. I asked how the team did. And that really stuck with him, and he passed that on to his kids and other people that he knew. And that one moment in his life where he got, you know, you're not expecting to necessarily get shot down by your mom, right? Oh, George, that's great. Ah, no, how'd your team do? No. I didn't ask how you did. I asked how your team did. That kicked him down a couple of notches, right? Maybe that's just what he needed. That's what we need on a regular basis, too. We need humbling on a regular basis. Maybe it is by your mom still. I don't know. Maybe God uses your mom to humble you, right? Maybe God uses other circumstances in your life to humble you, to humble me. How do we react to those things? Do we get angry? Or do we say, thank you, Lord, for humbling me? Because I was on a road to pride. I was on a road to more boasting, to thinking that I've got this all under control. And we don't. We don't have things under control. We need God's help. We need humbling from God. So he's mighty in faithfulness and creation over those that boast. He's mighty over everything. Look at verse 12. It says, the north and the south. We're still in Psalm 89. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. He's mighty over everything. Everything. If we let him, he will give us guidance. He will give us help. He'll give us strength and grace in every aspect of our lives. If we ask him to. If we ask him for that. And he will deliver us, and he will help us. So he's mighty in all of these things. We are not. We're pretty weak. Pretty weak in all of these examples, and we need to be asking him on a regular basis for help. So that's the first C, can't. We can't, he can. Number two, the second C is consequences. Consequences. And I want us to look here at what the consequences of pride are and also what the consequences of humility are. When we think consequences, we think something bad, right? But a consequence is just something that happens because of our actions, right? Happens because of an attitude, maybe. So it's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just what comes after what that action is. So obviously a consequence or consequences of humility are going to be positive. And that's a blessing. But I want us to first look at the consequences of pride. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and we see in verse number 5, a pretty clear statement here. We'll start about halfway through the verse. It says, "Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." It says God resisteth the proud. I don't know about you, but that's a dreadful thing to think about. The very God of eternity, the mighty God that we've just been discussing here, resisting us. God resisteth the proud. Look at verse number 8. It says, be sober. And this is all in the context here of humility, humbling ourselves. Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A big consequence may just be that Satan will get a foothold in our lives. Satan would love to get a foothold in your life. Satan would love to get a foothold in my life. And pride is the perfect opening for Satan to get that foothold. Satan will come in and will convince you of things, will subtly tell you things, will subtly get you to do things, and before you know it, you're so prideful that you're not even thinking about God. That's what Satan seeks to do in your life, and to lead you down a road of destruction. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. Jesus Christ told Peter that. He said, Satan seeks to sift you as wheat. He says, Satan wants you. Satan wants you. Satan wants me. Lack of humility, pride, will get Satan into our lives. And we ought to resist that. And it says here in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant. When I think of being sober, I think of just taking things seriously. Looking at the truth of really what's going on. Looking at, and get this now, looking at the truth of who I really am. Who you really are. And how much we need Him, we need God on a regular basis. Be sober. Realize that you need help, that I need help, and that we need God's influence. We need God's work. We need God's power in our lives. Don't let Satan get a foothold. So be sober. Be vigilant as well. Be looking at the different ways that Satan can get a foothold in your life. Pride is one of those. Maybe anger, maybe bitterness is another one, or another few. Excuse me. Satan will get a foothold if we are prideful. So that is a definite consequence of pride. And I mentioned bitterness and anger. Maybe we thought along the way that we could do something, or maybe that we had something under control in our lives. And it turns out that we don't. Because we've gotten prideful. And we've taken things into our own hands. And we just do things our way. We thought we could do it, and it turns out that we can't. And it becomes clear to us that I can't. What I've been trying to do does not work. Do we get angry about that? Do we get bitter about that? Because if we do, Satan's going to gain a foothold as well. Or do we own up to the mistake and ask the Lord for help? Do we humble ourselves and say, Lord, what I've been doing is not working. Lord, the course that I've been going down, what I've been pursuing, what I have thought is right, is not working. And I need your help. And I can admit that now, that I need your help. That's humility. And that's what God wants to see in us. That's the attitude that God wants to see in us. And we'll get to that in just a second. God will hear us. God will respond to us. God will help us if we have that attitude. Praise the Lord for that. He doesn't want to just see us broken. God doesn't want to just see us broken. He wants to see us broken and asking Him for help. And then says He will exalt us. He will help us. He will bless us. and provide for us in some great ways. What a great God he is. But pride doesn't get us to that. Humility gets us to that. So God will resist pride. Satan will get a foothold. Now let's look at the consequences of humility. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And we're going to read, starting in verse number 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord, Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Does that mean the eyes of the Lord are upon the people who always are doing right? Who appear righteous to other people? Is that what that means? That's not what that means. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's go back to this for just a second, though. Let's spend a little bit of time here in verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. What does he mean by righteous here? It means here someone who has humbled themselves and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And they're living with the attitude that, God, I don't have the answer. I need you as the answer for whatever the question is. Humbly responding to him on a constant basis. And if we get prideful, we repent of that, and then we respond in a humble way again. That's what God wants to see from us. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. We cry out to him in humility. We cry out to him with the right spirit. His ears are open to us. Again, what a great God of mercy he is. Verse number 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. What a great section of scripture this is. What great promises we see here. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There's going to be many troubles in this life just because of the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. There's going to be many troubles, many afflictions, many issues, many things that will arise that we don't really want any part of. And yet they come our way. And it says here, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a great thing that is. But what leads up to this verse? Verse number 17, verse number 18, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. We have to be crying unto him and asking him for help. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He's talking about humility here. That we would recognize the fact, realize the fact, that I desperately need him all the time. And that my life without him will be disastrous. Without him. And that we realize that, and we come to him, and we cry unto him for help on a regular basis. Do we do that? Or do we just put it on autopilot a lot of times and think, things are good. Things are good. Things are good. Until they're not good. And maybe that's what the Lord uses to bring us to the point where we become broken and we say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He will help us with whatever the issue. Those things that come along, he wants to help us. Now, he wants to keep us, I believe, and this is how the Lord kind of taught me from this verse number 20. It says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And I thought about that verse, and it talks about us having afflictions. The Bible talks about us having difficulties. And then it says in verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And I considered that, I meditated on that for a little bit, and I thought, physically speaking, a broken bone is a pretty rough thing. How many of you have had broken bones before? Many of you have. Was it pleasant? Was it good? No. It takes you out of the game for a while, right? You get a broken arm, you're in a cast, you can't use that arm for what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, maybe? And you can't go about the job that you need to be doing in the efficient way that you were doing it before, right? God doesn't want to see that happen to us spiritually. God doesn't want that. God wants us to keep going, moving forward, becoming more and more like him. Yes, afflictions will come and he will help us with these things as we ask him about them. But God wants to keep us away from the disastrous things that will just take us off track for a period of time, like a broken bone would. A broken bone can be even more disastrous when you think about it too. Have you ever seen a compound fracture where, and I'll get a little gross here with you, where a bone's sticking out of the skin, right? Pretty gross, pretty bad, right? Someone could even bleed so much that they would actually even lose their life. A broken bone would puncture a lung. A broken bone could sever a vein or an artery. And that could be disastrous for someone. And you know what? Spiritually speaking, again, God does not want to see us go there. Afflictions come. We need to ask him for help. And he will deliver us out of that. And as he delivers us out of those things, we can have more and more confidence in him. And as more and more things come, we should just go to him more and more and not think that we can handle these things ourselves. Because the road of pride will lead us to disastrous things. The road that we go down when we get prideful will lead us to broken bones. That will take us off track for doing what God wants us to be doing for him. God doesn't want that to happen. God does not want us to be led that way. We must be humble and not prideful. And for these promises to be fulfilled, it requires us to be humble. Look at verse number 18 again. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So there's the requirement here that we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And God will help us. God will deal with us. But it requires humility. So a consequence of humility is that when we respond appropriately to him in humility, he helps us. He gives us power. He gives us deliverance. He gives us grace and strength. He doesn't resist us anymore. What a great, great thing that is. I think of someone who is not wanting to get saved. I think a lot of times what keeps someone from being saved is their pride. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't want to admit that they're a sinner. They don't want to admit that they are something different in someone's eyes than what other people think that they are. They don't want to admit that. And pride in that sense is extremely disastrous because it's leading that person to hell. Disastrous. So consequences of humility, God will deliver. Whether that's the Christian or whether that is the unsaved, God will deliver. What a great truth. What a great promise that is. So that's the second C. The first one is can't. We can't, he can. The second one is consequences. There are consequences to pride, and there are also consequences of humility. What a blessing. And the third one is this, comfort. We should be comforted by the fact that we can't do everything, right? When we come to that realization that, hey, I've been trying to do this, I've been trying to do that, I've been using my own logic for this situation, whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? It could be something very simple in our lives that we've just not wanted to let go of. And then we finally say, Lord, I need your help in this. I can't do this. I don't know what to do with this, whatever it is. God, I need your help. There's a lot of comfort in that. God will give comfort. God will give help. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. One of my sons, I won't tell you which one, asked me if I was going to preach long tonight. And I said, as long as it takes, I guess. So I can't tell you. But we're already on the third point, so there's hope, right? Okay. So the third thing is comfort. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, this is a great verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a lot of comfort in that. As you consider that, as I consider that, there's much care in this life, there's much care in this world. Not being able to cast your care off on someone else and just holding all of your worries, holding all of your fears, holding on to everything yourself, that leads people down the road of destruction. And we hear news stories about it all the time. People doing disastrous things, whether it's drug use, whether it's violence, whatever it is, the care just racks up in their life. And they can't cast their care onto someone. Praise the Lord that we can cast our care upon him. And he is someone who can actually do something about our issues. He's all powerful. He's mighty. He wants us to cast our care upon him, and he wants to take care of these things. God cares for us. Verse number 7 again, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for me. He loves us. And he showed his great love, obviously, through his son. The great salvation that he offers, he shows it all throughout the scriptures. He shows it to us in verses like this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He shows us great love by giving us instruction that's going to help us. Think about that. Think about the instruction that you give your kids. Do you give your kids instruction because you want to feel like a drill sergeant, you know, in the army? Or do you give them instruction because you care for them? Because you love them. Why does God give us instruction? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. And he wants to see us represent him in the proper way. So he cares for us. Go to Psalm 142. That was really loud. Psalm 142. Psalm of David here, and as he's crying unto the Lord, he reveals some things here. Verse number 1 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He came to some pretty good conclusions here. I looked, verse number four, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. There may be people that care about us. There may be people in this life that love us. But they are not all powerful like our Heavenly Father is. To actually hear us and to be able to give us grace and strength to deal with an issue like He does. Just today at work, there was a lady that came to me and was telling me about something about a teenage kid. And she was describing the situation to me. And I really cared about the situation. I really cared about what was going on with this person. But the conclusion that I had to come to was, I can't do anything about it. I have no control over it. I have no power to change the situation for this person. I cared about it, but I couldn't do anything about it. God's not that way. We can, like it says in 1 Peter 5:7, we can cast all of our care upon Him. And you know what? He cares, and He can do something about it. Going back to the first C, right? I can't, He can. So why wouldn't we cast our care upon Him? Whatever that care is, whatever the issue is, cast it upon Him. David came to this conclusion, no man cares for me. Verse number three, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. He knew where to go to. He knew who to go to when he was overwhelmed. And that's what he did. And David sets a great example for us in that way in many instances throughout the scriptures. Turning to God, turning to Him for whatever the issue was. Go with me to Psalm 73. I think God can bring about some situations in our lives at times allow some things to happen where we are just, if not overwhelmed, maybe pretty close to being overwhelmed. And we can feel that, we can sense that. And God brings that about so that we will say like David did, I'm overwhelmed. And I don't know what the answer is. And the only thing that I can do is cast it upon Him. And He will help us. And God wants us to be in that situation. And He wants us to cast that care upon Him. Psalm 73, verse number 26, says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And that's part of it. God wants us to get to the point where we just don't know what to do. He wants us to trust Him, and then He wants us to declare the great works that He has done in us and through us, and say, praise the Lord. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what decision to make. I was overwhelmed, but I cast it upon Him, and He helped me. Praise the Lord for that. And that brings Him honor. That brings Him glory. And what a great privilege it is that we can be used to bring the very God of eternity glory and honor. That's a blessing. And it may not feel that way in the middle of that affliction, in the middle of that issue, right? But let's be humbled by it and respond appropriately. A couple more verses here. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse number 28. And we see that realization here. It says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We can keep going. We can have grace and strength through an affliction, through a difficulty, and bring honor and glory to him, and he will see us through. There's a lot of comfort in that. A lot of comfort in that. But it requires us to humble ourselves and have that realization, I can't do it. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 one more time. First Peter chapter 5 again. We need to be turning to him and trusting him. And this is in conclusion here. Trusting him and not ourselves. And when you consider that, that requires a lot of humility. That I don't trust myself. I don't know. I can't have control over this situation. I just need to trust him. And again, that requires humility. Actually, go to James chapter 4. And this will be the last section of scripture that we read here. James chapter 4. And verse number 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Some great promises that we see here. He gives grace, but he giveth more grace. Towards the end of that verse, but giveth grace unto the humble. And that's what we need. We need his grace. We need his work in our lives. And that will only come about if we are humble. So again, the three C's. Can't. We have to consider the consequences and realize that there is much comfort that comes when we realize that we can't. And we just humble ourselves and just trust him. Much comfort, much grace, much strength that comes as a result of that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you.